plays it into Trey. 2 seconds wide. Trey Slaughter.
Hello and welcome back to the Sports Ethos Atlanta Hawks Team Covers Podcast, formerly known as Hoopball Hawks, where we cover everything regarding the Atlanta Hawks. I'm your host, Brad Harden, and I am recording literally right after the game. Right after the game, here, obviously, you know, live here in Atlanta, Georgia, and the Hawks pulled it out. A floater from Trae Young with 4.4 seconds left. It was up and down. I tweeted mixed emotions, ups and downs throughout this entire game. But in the end, the Hawks stand on the winning side. Now have made it a series. It's 2-1 now with Game 4 coming up on Sunday night back here in Atlanta. And, oh, man, I don't know about y'all, but my heart was going. You know, it was an exciting game. Big swings made you ponder everything. Is Nate McMillan the coach? Do we need to start trading everybody on the roster? And obviously you have all these emotions go through your mind as you're watching the game. But, I mean, that's just because you're invested. And we want to see this Hawks team succeed. We had the run that we had last year in the Eastern Conference to get to the finals and obviously lose to the eventual champion, the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks. And to come into the year, start slow, have injuries, turn it on late to get to, obviously, the play-in, where you take care of Charlotte, you grind out a win, comeback win behind Trae Young versus Cleveland. You come out flat the first two games, not executing offensively with all the turnovers. Defensively not guarding the three-point line and getting on their shooters. And then obviously a magnificent game from Jimmy Butler on Tuesday night. But to get to this point, to be 2-1 now, you got the fans behind you again in Game 4. You know the Heat are going to come out hungry to try to really come out and hit us in the mouth. We have to expect that Game 4. We know that Spo is one of the great coaches in the NBA, one of the great people as far as making adjustments, and he makes great offensive sets. He's just a great coach. I mean, he's a championship coach. And to get a win when it looked as bleak as it did in that early third quarter, and then fourth quarter you just saw something change. And I know Mike Conti from 92.9 FM here in Atlanta tweeted it out. It kind of coincided with Lowry's injury. Now, we're not going to say that is the causation of this Hawks run. They started making shots. They started playing better defense, forcing a couple of shot clock violations, some steals, jumping into the passing lane, deflections. They had active hands, especially in that first half, where the Hawks played really well. And then that energy finally resurfaced in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter. Started with the subs, Okongwu. You know, Herter was playing some sound defense at times tonight. DeLon Wright, obviously, we cannot say DeLon Wright's praises enough. And a lot of people were trashing Okongwu on Twitter throughout the game as far as, you know, just his game offensively. He's not getting rebounds. He's not defending well. And he really turned things around because, let's be real, outside of DeAndre Hunter and Bogey, and then obviously Gallo in Game 1, no one has played a complete... No one has played well for the Hawks. No one has played well. The defensive pressure, the double teams, the different defensive coverages that they've been throwing at Trey to force turnovers, force them into bad shots, has been a huge problem for the Hawks. And to just... A lot of emotion right now. Just to see them execute down the stretch and get a few key defensive stops that we saw late in that game in Cleveland to get into the playoffs. We knew the Hawks were capable of it. We hadn't seen it in the first two games, but the Hawks finally fought. Now, there are some things that I'm going to talk about in this episode that were not good. We're going to talk about both because obviously we're going to have a game four. We're going to have to turn around real quick and do this again on Sunday. And there's going to be adjustments made by the Miami Heat. So the Hawks, by what they didn't do well tonight, they have to focus on for game four, and as well as keep some things working and going, because they are prolonging their offseason right now by stealing one here in Atlanta tonight. So we're going to talk a little bit more about tonight's game, my reaction, looking forward to game four after this plug. All right, and we are back. I'm recording this as the Pelicans are playing. Right now, obviously, you know, you guys know my childhood team. That's the New Orleans Pelicans growing up in the state of Louisiana. But obviously, I cover the Atlanta Hawks. So I'm not going to mention the Pelicans again in this episode, even though I'm going to be one eye on the screen and one eye on my script right now for the show. But, man, it was, I mean, everyone's going to talk about the floater by Trae Young. He did not play well as far as scoring the ball because of the defensive pressure. But the first three quarters of the game, Trae Young was struggling like he was in the first two games offensively. And he turned it on in that fourth quarter once he saw the ball go in. It was really that and one he got. And I want to say it was in the fourth quarter. The and one he got in the fourth quarter, where he shot it and got the roll in. No, it was the floater. The floater, sorry. And he got the and one. And that was really the turning point there, because then he started, you know, getting in a rhythm, becoming Trae Young. And it was all credit to him, his ability to do that. And no, not a lot of people will talk about this on Atlanta radio or podcast. I'm going to say it was a tribute to how the Hawks got a lot of people involved early on. I mean, when you look at the stats, six players in double digits. You know, Okongwu was knocking on the door with 9 points. And the odd guy out tonight was John Collins, who played just 24 minutes. But they were switching, obviously, Collins and Okongwu out at the five. And down the stretch, it was Okongwu and not John Collins, which is notable. It's notable. It's slowly but surely. I mean, he's been out. He's been injured. So but I'm not hinting at anything. But it could lend to maybe John Collins being out the door this offseason potentially. I mean, and it pains me to say that, because we don't utilize him enough. I mean, I talked about on previous episodes, John Collins loves playing the Miami Heat. He has really big games against the Miami Heat the last two seasons, and it sucks, you know, as a person who loves John Collins as a player, as a teammate, and what he does for the community here in Atlanta, to see us not utilize that the presence that he brings and get him the ball in his spots, as I say, on the block, you know, pick and pop, pick and roll, in the corner for three. I mean, just, you know, there's so many missed opportunities with John Collins. But you know, at one point, and a lot of people were criticizing DeAndre Hunter. They were like, he had 17 points, but he hadn't done anything else. And that is very true, because when you look at his stats outside of the four turnovers, he didn't do anything else but score. But definitely made some big defensive plays down the stretch. He never gave up. You know, he was 2-6 from three. When he saw one go down, you saw the sigh of relief on his face. He needed that to go down. But he's had a pretty solid series, as he's averaged, I want to say, 16 points in the series so far, which as by far offensively is the most consistent player we have had. But you get 13 out of Herter tonight, 4 assists, 5 rebounds, 1 of 8 from three. But Herter made some plays defensively. I know a lot of people were, you know, saying, I don't know how about Kevin Herter as far as a defender, but I think he's been really good off ball, and he shows flashes when he jumps into the passing lanes and whatnot. So I liked what I saw from Herter tonight, especially early on, and with DeAndre Hunter as well, getting to the basket, being aggressive. Those were the things that I was really excited to see. DeAndre Hunter started the game, putting his head down, getting to the cup, and finishing. he started, you know, doing that in the third quarter when the Hawks really started getting down and trying to get back in a rhythm. DeAndre Hunter needs to do that more. We want him to shoot threes, but I personally love when he puts his head down, gets to the rim, tries to get to the free throw line, and he finishes. That's something that I want to see him continue to work on through the offseason, because we need that guy that's going to put their head down and get to the basket and finish. We need that guy. We don't really, I mean, outside of Trae Young with the floater, we really don't have that on this team. So I like seeing DeAndre Hunter step up, be that guy. Gallinari with a terrible game two, came out firing in game three early in the game. You know, he finished with 11 points, 4-7 from the floor, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Trae Young obviously finished with 24 points, the game-winning basket with 4.4 seconds left. Had 8 assists, 4 rebounds. He also added 1 steal. A lot of credit to Ice Trae tonight for continuing to just battle and fight. That was something that I was just screaming at the television. Just keep fighting. Keep fighting. You got to keep fighting to the end. And the Hawks did that tonight. Okongwu and DeLon Wright, those two combined are my players of the game. Just, you know, the rebounding, especially from, you know, both of them, they combined for 7 rebounds, which is, we're going to talk about rebounding a little bit later. But Okongwu with 9 points, 2 blocks, a steal, 6 rebounds. He was really big in that fourth quarter. He was struggling early on, but really, once they let Collins stay out and let Okongwu in and kept him in, he really started to get in a rhythm, and that was something that I was happy to see, you know, even with the 4 fouls. And he was up, he was second highest in plus minus, plus 19, with DeLon Wright, who we have to talk about. Even though he didn't have any steals or blocks, a lot of deflections, really disruptive, jumping in passing lanes, forcing passes to other players. DeLon Wright's impact defensively, and I tweeted, we have to bring DeLon Wright back. We need him back. We do. I mean, just defensively to have him, we need him back. Now, we need to maybe get some other players that are better defensively, and maybe, you know, with, and I think, because a lot of people, you know, are on Hunter or Okongwu, both who were hurt going into, you know, the offseason last year. Whether we continue this series or not, this offseason is going to be really big as far as being healthy. Well, we're going to reevaluate the roster. We're going to make some moves. I know that's going to happen. But the players who are going to stay, or regardless if they stay or not, this is a big season, because last year a lot of them were banged up going to the offseason. They're going to have a full offseason to really do some development, watch film, figure out which areas to grow in their game, whether it was Okongwu growing offensively, maybe developing a jump shot, continuing to, you know, fill out his frame. DeAndre Hunter with foot speed, continuing to work on, you know, putting the ball on the floor, his dribbling skills, and shooting more consistently. Kevin Huerter continue just, you know, working his spots, work on catch and shoot threes, if that's how we're going to utilize him in his offense. It's a long list. I mean, everyone has something to get better at. So them going into the offseason healthy is going to be a huge lift. But the offseason is not here yet. And it's going to be prolonged one more game after tonight, which was great to see. But back to DeLon Wright, 13 points, 5 rebounds, and assist. He was 100% from the field. DeLon Wright and Okongwu, the X Factors tonight. And then obviously Bogey hitting big shot after big shot off the bench with 18 points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds, knocked down 4 3-pointers. It was a team effort. Everyone, you know, chipped in tonight, and that's why we got the win. It was a team effort, and I went back to saying that the team in this series, all season long, the team with the best 3-point shooting percentage in that game when the Hawks and the Heat play, win the game. The Hawks 37.5% from three to the Heat 31%. That was huge, and I think the 3-point shooting, the efficiency from three and the timely threes really kind of, in Trae's floater, I'm going to throw that out there, I'm going to just say that now, really hid the fact that, you know, a lot of people on Twitter were irate, and I'm still just, I mean, I'm glad we won, but that 21-0 run by the Miami Heat in the third quarter where Damon Millen didn't call a timeout, and then it was 20-0, then he called a timeout, then they scored a point after the timeout, but That was perplexing. It was, I mean, Nate is known to keep lineups out too long, not necessarily call timeouts, and that's a knock on him. I mean, that is something that is evident people complain about, and he does. That is still just, I mean, if we wouldn't have won, that stretch would have been, oh man. Like I said, wins, you know, mask everything else, but we have to do better there. We have to do better at controlling the game and controlling momentum. You know, great teams and great coaches like Pop, you know, Phil Jackson and others in the game of the NBA are known to call certain timeouts at times to, you know, reset teams. They know the pulse of their teams. They know when they say, all right, I need to talk to them, or, hey, we need a spell. They do that. And Nate McMillan, I'm not going to say he does not know the pulse of his team, but certainly needs to do better at game management. I mean, I'm an LSU fan, you know, Les Miles, obviously two coaches ago, obviously with Coach O going and now having Brian Kelly down in Baton Rouge, but that was Les Miles' problem with game management. Game management was his problem, and that was the reason why in big games we necessarily could not get over the hump, even with the talent, because of game management. So that's big in whatever sport that has a coach that has the ability to pause the game, call a timeout. Nate McMillan got bailed out tonight. He got bailed out tonight because that would have been something that whenever they do let Nate McMillan go, it's not going to be this offseason. It can't be this offseason, but they would point to that stretch and say, this right here is one of your offenses as a coach. And I'm not talking about good offense. I mean, offenses, crimes that have led you to being let go. They were going to point to that. But, you know, luckily, we're not going to have to harp on it that much, but that certainly has to get better. But, you know, free throws were a little bit better tonight. You know, Hawks had four more free throws than the Heat, which was a lot better than the other night. We had 14 or 15 less free throws than the Miami Heat, so that was better tonight. We got killed on the glass. We were out-rebounded by 9 and 11-5 on the offensive glass. I know the commentators talked about it. You know, people on Twitter who cover the team talk about it. You gotta rebound. It has to be rebounding of the team. You know, Jimmy Butler at times was getting rebounds by himself, you know, to keep possessions going, to give them second, third opportunities. And Jimmy Butler didn't end up with 10 rebounds tonight. He had 20 points and 8 assists to go along with that. But he was certainly, especially as he started knocking the shots down, you know, late in the game, he started to turn it on. He was a big impact. P.J. Tucker, you know, 11 points, you know, had that one big corner three to give the Heat the lead with under a minute left. He had his 7 rebounds and 4 assists. You know, Bam Adebayo, 13 points, 5 assists, 11 rebounds. Hasn't been crazy impactful in this series, but that was certainly tonight being his best game, you know, coming back from injury. You know, Lowry left with a hamstring injury, and I did get that update as I was recording that he does have a hamstring injury, and he will be reevaluated tomorrow with that hamstring. So that could be very impactful, but before he left, played 23 minutes, 6 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 of 7 from the field, and both of his 2 makes were from 3. Max Struss would have been the guy that I point to outside of Tyler Herro that killed us this game. Max Struss, you know, don't know how to say his name, Struss, but Max, 20 points, 5 3-pointers tonight. He was 7 of 13 from the floor. He was extremely impactful, especially shooting the 3-point ball, and a lot of it was, you know, created from second, third chance opportunities. They kicked it out to the 3-point line, which is a no-no in basketball. As soon as, you know, the other team gets an offensive rebound, you got to guard the shooters on the 3-point line because that's the best opportunity to make a three is off of an offensive rebound because the defenders are looking the other way, looking at the ball that obviously was just shot and they're looking for the rebound. So that's a little basketball 101, just to flex some knowledge. But, I mean, Max certainly wasn't an impact. Dedmon had 7 points off the bench. And Tyler Herro obviously was a monster, 24 points. That's why he probably will win Sixth Man of the Year. He was my pick to win Sixth Man of the Year. Coming into the year, I'm not surprised at all by his play. But 24 points tonight, 4 assists, 7 rebounds, 4 3-pointers, 10 of 22 from the floor. And Duncan Robinson, after that crazy game 1, definitely has cooled off, only 6 points with 1 3-pointer. tonight, and he had some very helpful fouls as far as, you know, lending to the Atlanta Hawks. But tough game. We got the turnovers down, only 11 tonight. Turnovers, even though we had some turnovers, three-point shooting. You know, we shot 51% from the floor tonight, got more free throw attempts than the Heat. 23 assists, a little shy of our magic number that we like here on this program. Points in the paint, Hawks plus two. Fast break points were even. So the things that we talked about the Hawks had to do, we have to, you know, win on the glass, which we lost. But we did everything else that we needed to do. You know, outshoot them from the three-point line, get to the free throw line. You know, the team assist, low turnover numbers. Those things did happen tonight. Now, it wasn't pretty. It was definitely some ebbs and flows that really had some, you know, Hawks fans, you know, eating Tums, Pepto, taking shots, doing whatever vices that they needed to get them through the game. I know certainly I was pressed myself, and the Hawks never make it easy. But if it were easy, I mean, anybody would be a Hawks fan. Let's be real. Anybody would be a fan of their team if it was easy. But you got to, you know, as much as you have the downs, which we had our downs in this game, we had the ups, like Trae Young's floater with 4.4 seconds to overcome a 16-point deficit in the second half to beat Miami tonight. It was just, I'm just so glad, you know, outscored them 34-25 in the fourth quarter after, you know, coming out with a huge dud in the third quarter, being outscored by 15 points. That was a bad, bad quarter. Made everybody question everything in life. After obviously ending the second quarter really well, outscoring the Heat by 9 and scoring 39 points versus the Heat, which is the most in a quarter in the series so far for the Hawks. So it is time to come back to the State Farm Arena on Sunday night. TNT game, the TNT Hawks. Hawks are starting to turn it around on ESPN. Thank the sweet Lord, because they gave us national televised games. We kind of let the national audience down a lot of game, but we're trying to make it up, which is good. Now we're back on TNT where we feel comfortable playing at home. And you know, when we play at home on TNT, the Hawks, I want to say they are undefeated. I think they are undefeated this year when they play at home and on TNT. So let's get comfortable on TNT. But we got to get better on the glass. We have to continue to guard a three-point line. We got to continue to defend without fouling, but continue to have those active hands, play with that intensity and aggression that we, you know, started the first half and played a lot of the second quarter with, and then finished the game with, you know, keep the turnovers down, execute, move the ball, help out Trae Young. It has to be a team effort, which we had that tonight. And who knows? We may be able to make this 2-2 on Sunday. Like I said at the top of the program, the Heat are going to come out strong. They're going to hit us in the mouth. You know, I expect Jimmy to be very, very aggressive with Lowry out. I expect Hero to be aggressive. I expect them to try to get their shooters open and get them good looks. So setting screens and pin downs to get their shooters open and get them clean looks from the three-point line. And that defensive pressure that they really bothered the Hawks in stretches, especially in that third quarter where the Hawks were just abysmal, terrible. And then they started the first quarter with that defensive pressure as well. But obviously the Hawks made a little run and made it close to end the first quarter. But that's going to remain constant. So, and going into game two, it has to be a team effort. We have to continue to move the ball. We have to. I would like to get more out of John Collins. I would like for John Collins to have his coming out party since the injury, his big game in a winning effort on Sunday night. I mean, DeAndre Hunter, I'd like to see him continue to be consistent. Trae Young continue to, you know, go through the game, see the defensive coverages, but hey, work through adversity and get it done when it matters, execute when it matters as the leader of this team, as the point guard. You know, Herter continue to get into the mid-range game and set up the three-point shot. Also with Hunter, as I mentioned, being consistent, continuing to get to the cup himself, because that's been a really nice touch. And then off the bench, we've really shortened the rotation. You know, just Okongwu, Bogey, and DeLon Wright coming off the bench tonight here at home, which is big. But, I mean, I feel like the only other player that could have played a little bit is maybe Gorgie Jang or TLC. But, I mean, Nate McMillan is tightening the rotations, and I don't see a problem with that. I liked Okongwu finishing the game for defensive purposes. I really like that move. I mean, he had a not great first two games. So this was his best game of the series. I want to see him continue to build off that energy, that effort, you know, getting rebounds, blocking shots, being a presence defensively, and, you know, trying to stay out of foul trouble. But you know what? Continue to play your game and be that dog on defense. Bogey continued to hit shots. You know, he's playing with a lot of confidence. I love the matchup between him and Hero. And I said going into the series, you know, the matchup between him and Hero, I felt like whoever outscored the other in the game, in that game, that, you know, that team would win. It has not come to fruition this series, so I'm going to throw that out the window. But continue to be Bogey. Continue to produce off the bench, get people involved, and doing the things necessary to win the game. I love that he had 8 rebounds. You know, even though we did get out rebound, you know, by the Heat. You know, the fact that I see Trey with 4, Herter with 5, Okongwu with 6, Bogey with 8, DeLon with 5, Collins with 5. You know, we did rebound. You know, as a team, it was better if you look at how many rebounds each person was getting. And that's a product to obviously Miami not shooting as well tonight. But we have to fight on the glass. You know, the fact that Butler and Adebayo combined for 21 rebounds is not good. And you had PJ Tucker 7. You know, Tyler Hero had 7. You know, it's playoff basketball. Everyone has to go get a rebound. We can't afford just running back. We have to run back and get on defense. It's a dilemma. It's a quarrel. And, you know, the broadcasters did point that out. But we have to, you know, we have to rebound as a team. And it has to be team rebounding, timely rebounds and whatnot. So, you got to fight like you did tonight. You had to fight. And when they were getting beat in that stretch, I think that it was just a lot of bad breaks, bad lucks, missed shots, poor execution. But I don't think that it was a lack of fight. The effort at times was questionable. And DeLon Wright was really that spark plug to really get things going for loose balls, jumping and passing lanes. And then it was contagious. Okongwu did it. Herter did it. Hunter did it. It spread to the rest of the team. We need to sustain that for 4 quarters and see, hey, how many points can we beat this Miami Heat team at home, really? Like, how many points can we really beat them if we're playing our best defensively? I'm just glad we got the win. You know, shout out to the Hawks, Trae Young. Great home crowd tonight. I know it was a tough one with the suspicious package in the area that delayed the tip-off quite a bit of time and pushed back the Pelicans game that's on right now. But it was worth the wait. It was worth the heartburn. And, hey, it's a series now, baby. It is a series now, and this is what the playoffs are all about. We ain't going to Cabo yet. We ain't going to Cabo yet, or wherever, you know, the Hawks are going, and please take me with you because I need a vacation as well. But we live to fight another day, so I cannot wait to see how the Hawks come out on Sunday on TNT. Game 4, Miami, you know they're going to come out aggressive, you know, trying to really set the tone, be physical, and try to probably put the Hawks away early and try to go up 3-1 going back to Miami so they can get the gentleman sweep on us. But we have to do everything in our power, dig deep, deep to prevent that, to give us more basketball, more film to evaluate, to see, hey, this offseason, who's staying, who's going, and the things that these players need to work on going into the 2022-23 NBA season. So I'm excited for Game 4. Expect another tough one. Another tough one. You know, Miami, you know, they're the one seed for a reason. Best record in the East. They're going to come out and try to flex their muscles. We have to match that intensity and expect them to be physical. It's going to be really interesting to see how the referees officiate Sunday. Are they going to let the Heat be physical, or are they going to try to control that early and get some quick whistles in the first quarter? So the first quarter is going to be a real tone setter as far as energy, effort, how they're going to officiate, and see who's going to, you know, carry over, you know, how we finish game three into game four. Who's going to be that guy? Is it going to be Trey that comes out hot? Is it going to be Gallo again who came out shooting tonight? Is it going to be Herter? Is it going to be the Kevin Herter game? Is it going to be the John Collins game, which I hope we just feature him early and often and really take him into consideration in our offense? Because, I mean, who knows how healthy he is, so I can kind of walk back that, but I would love to see him utilized. And again, I mean, we won. I'm happy. I'm happy we got the win, but we still miss Clint Capela. So really interesting to see if he gets evaluated and see how he's doing, how he's progressing, if there is a chance that if the Hawks can prolong the series and get a win on Sunday, if he can come back and make an impact on this series. So if you love what you heard today, give us 5 stars, give us a good review, share it and tell everybody about the hottest new podcast covering the Atlanta Hawks. Share with fellow Hawks fans, NBA fans, Georgia sports fans, basketball fans, new bandwagon fans after game three, after we came back down from 16 and won the game. It don't matter. Put them on to the show and put them on to us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at EthosHawks on Twitter. That is at EthosHawks. And then follow myself, Brad Jarrett 67 on Twitter. That is Brad Jarrett 67. Let's go, Hawks. We'll see you guys game four on Sunday. We're going to be right here right after the game on Sunday. Barring homework, y'all know I'm in school. But y'all know I'm going to be here after game four, win or lose. That's how we do here on Sports Ethos Atlanta Hawks. We'll catch you guys on Sunday. And you guys have a wonderful Saturday. And get ready for Sunday night.